Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya and my guest today. Wow, we've got a lot of information to cram into such a short show because not only is she going to share her personal success story with Lyme disease, we're going to talk about how she transferred it in utero to her children and how her mom had a battle with it as well. So lots to pack in here. We're going to kind of dive into the treatments of antibiotics that worked and then the other times that they didn't work, the herbals, the Cowden protocol, just so many different things we're going to wrap into this episode. So I'm excited to be able to bring this to you guys. Kimberly, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you. Thank you for taking the time to join me.
Thank you so much, Tanya. I'm just super tickled to be here. I'm so excited that when I started exploring Lyme again this year, I found you on Facebook, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. I've been listening in to your podcast and have learned so much from your guests and you, and just really appreciate the opportunity to share my story today.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Without guests like you, Kimberly, I wouldn't have a show, right? So I appreciate you. So like I mentioned, we have a lot to kind of dive into, and I know that it's your medical technology background that kind of was what really led you to dig deeper and probably get your own diagnosis, right? And with your children and all of that. So let's kind of start with, I guess, just with your journey. Like, where did it start? How did it start?
Yeah. So I really struggled in high school with all kinds of things, depression, anxiety. I think I was having gallbladder attacks. I was even bulimic, I think, just to have some sort of control over my life. But I do not recall back in Pennsylvania ever seeing a tick. And I didn't even really know what a tick was or had seen one until I pulled one off of my children much later in life. I ended up getting diagnosed at 47 and I'm now 61. And so I lived many, many years just, you know, with, as we all know, symptoms that came and went. They were worse sometimes, better sometimes. But basically, I think my compelling event was having my son at 40. I think just the trauma of my age, and it was a really rough pregnancy because of Lyme and because of my MTHFR mutation, to find out later, I had 7 pregnancies, 2 live children, and I lost a son at 5 months in utero. And so, you know, I was extremely, extremely ill, not really able to get out of bed much when he was born. My daughter's 4 years older, so she was running around. And I was so ill. It was hard for me to get showered and get dressed and even do anything. I'm not really sure how I kept my job at the time. Thankfully, I was in sales and I worked from home a lot. I traveled, you know, a little bit, but, you know, that took a lot out of me. I was seeing probably 10 different doctors at the time. I had a neurologist. I had an endocrinologist, a rheumatologist, a chiropractor, a PT person, psychologist, psychiatrist, all these things, because once I had Mason, I seriously couldn't get out of bed. My children had to come and see me in my bed. I got up 1 hour a day. Thank God for my husband, who took care of everything, you know, when this was happening. But I was going to the chiropractor. They just happened to have a nutritionist, and I didn't understand why I was feeling so poorly at 47 when I tried to eat right and we did the right things. We had been gluten-free, you know, for my daughter, all that sort of thing. And the nutritionist immediately said to me, "It sounds like you have an MTHFR mutation." And I said, well, I do. I have C677T homozygous, and I know that because you mentioned my background. I was a medical technologist, and I worked in a hospital lab for a very long time. That's what my training was in. And then went on to work for companies where I developed testing and that sort of thing. And I used to sell the MTHFR test. So she immediately put me on. I didn't ever know what to do about it. I just knew I had it. And she said, to take methylated vitamins. And within a month, I was feeling 80% better. I mean, just so much better, just methylating. And I thought, well, if I'm feeling this good, and the more I read about it, the more involved I realized it was the whole detox pathway. And so I found a doctor nearby, luckily, that was versed in MTHFR. But when he looked at my intake, which was very extensive on environment, toxins, lifestyle, like all that sort of thing, he said, the good news is you might have Parkinson's, you might have MS symptoms, and you definitely were diagnosed with arthritis. But what I really think you have is Lyme disease. We're going to draw like 20 tubes of blood and do all kinds of different testing. That I was actually aware of because of my training, but had never really seen run anywhere when I've been to the doctor. And, a month later, we got back together and he said, well, yep. He said, you have Lyme disease. And he said, well, he said, your screen and Western blot are negative if you interpret them the way that the CDC would. But your CD57, your C3, C4 are off, the complement. And he said, we're going to do treatment. And unfortunately, it's out of pocket. Let's get you prepared that this is going to be extensive and out of pocket. But I really think that we should treat you. And, without a positive test and taking on all this, cost and everything, I did it because I had no choice. And luckily, he didn't tell me at the time that it was going to be 2 years of rotating supplements and antibiotics. Every 3 months, we would get together and he would change up the antibiotics and add different supplements and binders and things to heal my brain and immune system. And we just kept going and going and going until I hit the Babesia protocol.
All right. Kimberly, can I stop
Yes.
you right there for a
Yes,
second? Sorry.
of
There was
course.
so many times I wanted to jump in. So, gonna go back to you've had all these issues for many, many years, right? You lost a
Yes.
baby in utero at 5 months, which, my gosh, not many things do we often have in common with that, but me too,
Yeah.
right? And I believe a lot of it went back to the MTHFR mutation that I didn't know I had. And then the trauma, right, of childbirth. And that's usually what happens. I believe that so many of us are literally walking around with these pathogens in our body, but our immune
Yes.
is so strong, our foundation is strong that we are symptom free. But when you
Yes.
have some type of a, physical or emotional trauma, which probably childbirth, I'm taking as probably both of those, right?
Yes.
Then that is when it kind of lowers your immunity, shuts your body down, and allows these pathogens to take over. So
Yes.
you were probably trying to deal with it for many years or being dismissed or, oh, okay, now that symptom's gone, so I'm good.
Yes.
And then something else will come back up. But now that, you have your child, you're down for the count. Like you're forced to do something with your health, right? And sometimes that's what happens, and we really have to dig deep and find the answers. So
Yes.
and I completely agree with you with the testing. Most of us are not CDC positive. I wasn't, but I can
Right.
assure you I had Lyme disease, right?
Absolutely.
So
I had been tested for Lyme disease. Every time I went in, it was the first thing they tested me for. But I think I mentioned earlier when we were chatting, I had the opportunity to meet Willie Bergdorfer when I worked in the hospital lab at Ohio State. We were a really high profile virology laboratory. And so his team came to us to develop a commercial test for Lyme disease. And, it was so terrible. We couldn't get it to work, even though we could see the Lyme in there, the spirochetes in the tubes. We couldn't get it to work, but they put it on the market anyway because they said it was for surveillance, only to find out that those tests were potentially that one were still in use. And so, So unfortunately, I was tested many times and was told I was negative. I had so many symptoms, finger swelling like pickles, I mean, all kinds of things, but I was always negative. So, I asked my doctor about it when he finally said, you have Lyme disease. And he said, you can't, it hides, number one. Number two, I think people need to know that when you have chronic Lyme or chronic infections, your immune system is suppressed. So your B cells cannot make antibodies. And so the tests that they use, which are the screening tests that use antibodies, your antibodies to Lyme, instead of looking for Lyme itself, unfortunately, you can't make antibodies. So a lot of people don't come up positive until later in their treatment when their immune system gets better and they can actually produce antibodies. And that's what happened with me.
That is incredible that you had the opportunity to meet him. That is wild, right? Oh my gosh. So, all
Interesting.
right. So you get your Lyme diagnosis, right? So kind of walk us through at this point, what were your kind of throw out some of your main symptoms that you were dealing with when you go and they finally say that you have Lyme disease?
Well, I was being diagnosed with MS and Parkinson's because I had shakes, involuntary shakes and tics. I was slurring words. I was tripping over things that were not there, like my feet were dragging, I couldn't find words. I would say to my children, give me that thing that you drink out of, or that I put my stuff in, or that I write a note with. I was getting lost driving. I forgot to mention I was being diagnosed with early onset dementia as well. I seriously did not know neighbors' names. My children knew that they had to stay close with me when we were out, in a public setting, because I wouldn't remember a neighbor's name or, their dog's name or whatever. And they
Right.
knew to
Or
help me.
lead you back to the car because we can't find our car, right? Yeah. So your children are being your parents, so to say.
When
Yeah.
it
So
was bad,
very
I was getting lost
neurological.
driving. I was getting lost driving. I mean, it was so scary. And so that's when I was like, okay, the MTHFR, I found that out. I was feeling a little better. And then I found Dr. Heyman, who is world renowned. I probably sent 200 people to him. He's helped all of them determine what is causing, all of their unusual symptoms, right? They were misdiagnosed, undiagnosed, just like I was. And so I started doing a lot of patient advocate work. I started working with National CAP-Lyme, all that sort of thing. I was really, really into it and screaming from the trees about Lyme disease to the point where my children said, Mom, please quit talking about it. Like, we got to get to practice.
I get it. Yes. No, I'm sure that my friends on social media get so tired of me talking about it. But hey, if it saves a life, then I don't care, right? Like, sorry.
Absolutely.
All right. So now you get your diagnosis and you do the antibiotics. Little did you know that it was going to be a 2-year bout with this rotating. You did not do IV, but you did oral antibiotics. And so, my listeners that follow me, they know I'm not a fan of antibiotics unless it's a chronic infection, right? Sometimes they work well with herbals, but I just don't think that they should always be your number one go-to choice when we're dealing with chronic Lyme disease. But in this
Agree.
first round for you, it really worked well, right? So talk about the antibiotics that you did and kind of your progress and how you started feeling better. And then what type of support things did you do to help support your gut along, right? Because it does a lot of damage to that and well as well.
Yeah, I think I was on 20 different antibiotics when I
Wow.
looked at the protocol. And he had them grouped for different things, right? Because I think at this point, they used to say you can get up to 10 things from each tick. Now they're saying up to 20. And he did not really believe in testing at the time. And actually, after seeing what happened with me, I kind of agreed with him. And so basically, what he would do is treat you for anything and everything that you could get from a tick, including Babesia, right?
Okay.
Which is intracellular, right? And so I did that. It was terrible. My gut was so bad. I was taking probiotics, but the only thing that helped me, not even prescription meds, the only thing that helped me was aloe juice. And it wasn't really very popular at the time. So anytime we went to any grocery store, we were in search of aloe juice because it was the only thing that soothed my stomach. That probably after starting treatment was the worst symptom ever, as my gut was just raw. I mean, the thought of taking those 45 pills every day, you know, between supplements and vitamins and antibiotics and binders and all that sort of thing, it was just horrifying to me because I hurt so badly. But I was getting better and better and better. I went through the 2-year protocol, and Tanya, I will tell you, I was 50 at the time when I finished, and I felt 30. I mean, I lost weight because of the inflammation. You know, the inflammation was solved. I just
Because
everything
you were sick for
cognitively.
so many years and all of these things just kept compiling on top of each other that you probably, right until you had your child, you probably didn't really even realize how sick you were and
No,
how you were
absolutely.
supposed to feel, right? So now you probably feel like a 50-year-old for maybe a normal person, right? But because you were sick for so long and didn't have any answers or solutions, you actually feel normal. You didn't even know what that was like. Isn't that just mind-blowing to think about that?
Mind-boggling. It was terrible. I mean, and I just couldn't believe how good I felt. And at that point, I was working very closely with a lot of different Lyme groups and doing walks and, you know, talking to different doctors in the area, just finding resources to help people. What was helping me get better was helping other people get diagnosed and get better.
Yes,
That
that is
was
an
really,
amazing feeling. Yes.
that was really helpful to me. And I was going with people to Dr. Heyman, and he would say, you know, Kim knows everything. Do you want her to explain it, or do you want me to explain it? And I would always say, please explain it, because he was constantly learning new things, right? And so I would learn something new every time I went with him. One day when I was there, he just asked about my family because we were getting so close. And, you know, I said, yeah, my daughter has epilepsy. But you know, she got it later in life, and you know, no fall or anything. So they just said it was hereditary, and it just showed up later in life. And she has anxiety. She's always been very hyperactive, you know, ADD kind of kid, but you know, very full of life. And my son was a little bit different. He was always kind of stoic, and you know, just kind of more on the shy side, a little rigid. Only to find out that it was OCD caused by Lyme disease. He had a bit of melancholy or depression. So he was kind of like super calm and chill, and she was hyped up with it. She had GI issues. He had both of them had rotating, migrating joint pains all over the place, and we were constantly getting x-rays and, you know, never any breaks or anything like that. It was just, you know, nobody could ever explain it, and we just move on, right? But what happened is he was asking me about them, and I told them him this stuff, and he said, Kim, tell me how they were when they were little and they had GI issues and that sort of thing. He goes, those are the types of things, rashes. My daughter had severe allergies. She couldn't eat milk or grains, so she was gluten-free from the time she was tiny. And it was, we had to carry all of her food. And back in that day, oh my goodness, it was a fortune every week to buy food and to carry her food. She drank rice milk instead of milk. She couldn't have dairy. It made her break out in hives. I mean, you know, just a lot. But anyway, he said, Kim, from what you're telling me, I believe that you gave it to them in utero. And I didn't even realize it could be passed that way. And even the CDC acknowledges that. That it is passed in utero through the placenta. Because I was laying out so many expenses for my treatment, we kind of held off a little bit for my daughter, even though she had epilepsy and was on oxcarbazepine. She got on the highest doses and was starting to have breakthrough seizures. And he said, Kim, we really need to have her evaluated. And so we brought her in. And of course, she was negative. She was negative on he did do the screen and the blot. She was negative. And he said, I don't know what else to do but to treat her because I really feel like her symptoms. He goes, I'm seeing epilepsy in tons of Lyme patients, especially here in Loudoun County. We were the fastest growing county in the country for a while. I don't know if we still are, but you know, we're making way for new buildings and chasing away deer and mice and birds and everything else. And I'm seeing a lot of epilepsy. And you know, I was at my wit's end because she couldn't leave the house because she was having breakthrough seizures and was just feeling so terrible. So I agreed. I said, there's no possible way I'm getting 45 pills down her throat every day. What do we do? And yeah, right.
Can't do the same protocol with her as you did with me. Not gonna
Right.
happen.
Yeah. So he said, don't worry, for children, we use the Cowden protocol. And that's all natural. There are
And
about
that's
20.
good to know. I'm glad that you said that because, you know, a lot of times, just like with children, they present different symptoms than a lot of
Yes.
times than adults do. And even male versus female children can present,
Yes.
obviously, you just said they're like on total opposite ends of the energy, the knot, right? Like, so they're so
Absolutely.
different. And people want to look into these herbal protocols versus the antibiotics, but they never know what's safe for children to do. So the Cowden
Absolutely.
protocol is safe for children, you're saying?
Yeah, I think she was 14 when we treated her, when we ended up
Okay.
treating her. She had had epilepsy for a while, and just like I said, was having breakthrough seizures. And so there was no other answer. And so anyway, yeah, we did the Cowden protocol with her. At the time, it was about 20 different herbs for all different things, some for killing, some for support, some for binding, all those sort of things. But she had to take, it was 4 glass bottles of tinctures every day, up to 20 drops in each bottle. Tasted terrible. Sometimes it was green if there were certain herbs in that week. Every week it changed. Thankfully, my engineer husband enjoyed putting those things together every day because it was kind of a nightmare to, I couldn't think well enough to even, do that for her. But I believe now I looked at it recently to see if it was still available, and they've revised it, and I think it's a lot fewer drops. So that's really good.
Okay.
Yes. So she, had to take 3 glass bottles in her backpack every day to school. She got accused of drinking vodka. I had to go into the school out of her locker. I don't know how she did it. I mean, she was so set on getting her driver's license, which we had 1 year to get her epilepsy free. Actually, we had to do it very quickly, so that she could get her permit. And so anyway, she did it. I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she got out
That
of
was
bed.
her why. She found her
That was
why.
her
Her
why. That
why
was her why.
at that age was, I'm gonna drive.
Yeah, and she was an amazing lacrosse player, like crazy, 4-time All-State and amazing. I don't know how the kid got out of bed, but she loved lacrosse and she wanted her driver's license. And so she got through it. And to this day, the happiest day of my life, I was in Paris for work and at the airport and received a call from Children's Hospital that her EEG that I had to push for because they said she would never be cured. You don't need an EEG. And I said, look, she's just gone through 9 months of treatment for Lyme disease and other infections. And the doctor screamed at me saying, it's not an infection. This is, it's hereditary, whatever. And, so when I went back in and to get her cleared, he just said, well, I must have misdiagnosed her, or she grew out of it, or whatever. And I was like, well, that's pretty coincidental. And if you Google Lyme disease, or excuse me, Google epilepsy, it says something irritating your brain. And it could be viral or bacterial, or it could be damage, or it could be something else. And the nurse practitioner, took me aside before I left and said, so many children are presenting with epilepsy. Give me your doctor's name and tell me more about what you did, because I don't care if the doctor believes it or not, but this is clearly, she was cured
Yes.
in 9
Yeah.
months because, her EEG was very, very bad. So she went on to get her driver's license on time and she got
Yay.
recruited to play D1 lacrosse in Boston.
That is amazing. Amazing. And I do believe that our bodies are designed to heal themselves. That is
Yes.
how God made us. We're truly incredible. And I think that so many things are we really can't throw them in this genetic pool, right? Like,
Right.
I've almost convinced myself that if there is anything genetic, very few. That just not what they're saying, right? Of course, I'm not a
Well.
practitioner. That's just what I'm seeing. That's what I'm believing. So, and
Yeah.
again, like, so this just shows how we are so different, right? Like, unfortunately, there's not one protocol that's going to work for everyone. There's not a
Right.
time frame that works for everyone. So going back to you for just a quick moment, you did the oral antibiotics for 2 years, and that was kind of your like your margin, your point. So you got well in 2 years from antibiotics. Obviously, you had to do a lot of gut detox and a lot of, other protocols, I'm sure. Did you really do any herbals, or was it mostly
No.
antibiotics and then supporting your gut and
Yes.
immunity? Yes.
Yeah, a lot of fish oil, like a lot of that sort of thing.
And so 2 years was you, and then your daughter being, 13, 14 at the time, she did the Cowden protocol for 9 months, and that was her ticket.
It was. And my son, so all of a sudden, well, actually both kids got sick about the same time, and I do believe I've identified their compelling event to crash them, like my surgery, my C-section did from having Mason. He started presenting with he had OCD, was just inflexible, right? Like certain clothes bothered him. He didn't like certain foods. He didn't like a change of plans. We'd be in the middle of dinner and he would just put everything away and go get his books because it was 7 o'clock and he needed to do his homework, right? That he was just kind of inflexible. He didn't like to go out to dinner, and we love going out to dinner, so it was difficult, right? Well, he was presenting all of a sudden with severe migraines. I get a call from the school that he's falling asleep at school, and I need to do something. He needs more sleep and all that sort of thing. He was having severe migraines, and on top of the mild OCD, he was having migrating joint pain. He also played sports and was having a lot of leg pain and foot pain. And again, got diagnosed with an extra bone in his foot, which a lot of people have, but that's what they said was causing it. He went to the chiropractor a lot, all that sort of thing. And my doctor finally talked me into treating him. And again, it was really not that I didn't want to treat them, but it was just cost. I mean, it was out of pocket. For the longest time, I kept all of our supplement bottles, all of our pill bottles, all of our everything, and they just filled our entire basement. I mean, that's how much money we spent at $50 a crack, right, on each one of those supplements, right? But he said, Kim, let's test Mason and let's see what's going on with him. And because he was in such bad shape, I said, of course. And when he tested him with the screen and the Western blot, he had 9 out of 10 bands, which my doctor had never seen in his life.
Oh my God, definitely CDC positive, right? Which doesn't happen very often.
It's ridiculous. Number one, their interpretation is crazy. Number two, the sicker you are, you can't make antibodies, right? And then it hides, right? And then it cycles. So there might be a lot or there might be a little in your system. So there's a lot of reasons the testing is bad. But so he got treated on Beyond Balance, because I even thought, oh my God, he's never going to swallow those crazy herbs that she took.
He's not
What
as tough as my daughter is.
No. And he was younger, he was younger. And even though he was sick, it was going to be difficult. And he said, don't worry, there's a brand new thing I'm using, and it's called Beyond Balance. There are three different tinctures that cover Babesia, Bartonella, and Lyme, as well as a biofilm disruptor as well. So he did that for about 8 months, as long as he would tolerate it. And he his honestly, within a month or so, his migraines went away, and he started relaxing a bit, was much more flexible, and his pain, in his legs and stuff was getting better. And we got through about 8 months of treatment with him. And we all one other thing that I wanted to mention is testing. I helped with the first original ELISA test, which again was terrible, but went on the market. And number two, I also, when I was done with Lyme, I started researching other testing because the testing is so bad, was so bad. I found a company called Ceres Biosciences, and they just happened to be close by my home, which is, kind of how the world works for me. And I reached out to them, and they were shocked because they said that they were looking for someone who understood Lyme, who had a background in lab testing and understood testing, and could potentially help them market their test to places like LabCorp or other labs that wanted to take on this test. They had a CAP certified lab in Manassas, Virginia, but it was only for small batches, right? It was just enough to prove and to get this thing cleared for being able to be used. So with all my contacts, I took them around to LabCorp. LabCorp was blown away at the sensitivity and specificity of the test. At the time, it was called Ceres Nanotrap. It's now called Galaxy. I took them to many other virology labs and very, very interested. They asked me to come work for them, but at the time I was in medical IT sales and it was, they just, you know, couldn't pay me enough to be able to afford to come over there, but I still helped them for a long time. Then I lost track of them. But recently when I got back involved in the Lyme community, I looked them up and I was tickled to see that Galaxy had picked up this test. The technology is unbelievable. It's called nanotrap technology. And what it is, it's the type of technology that traps the dye in our clothing. If you wonder why your clothes don't fade when you wash them, or, you know, pretty much they stay intact, it's because of this technology. And what they figured out is that they could send out these capture tests. It's not really the back end of the test, the testing part. It was the capture, the isolation of Lyme that is so different than any other for any other PCR test. And so it traps it in this little mechanism, and then you send that to the lab. It could be shipped at room temperature and everything, at least it was, and then they could test it there and super duper duper accurate. So I highly suggest people seek out that test,
especially. And so that is available through Galaxy Diagnostics?
Yes.
Okay. And I had Nicole Bell on my show. It's been a little while and we were talking about different new testing. So I'm sure that she probably brought that up, and they are one of the labs that I do highly recommend. So
yeah.
Good information.
Yeah,
thank you
just the
for
technology.
Sharing that.
Yeah. Another thing as far as treatment that we did that I highly recommend to people is phosphatidylcholine is huge. So our cell walls get damaged as we age. Number one, they just break down. They become less strong. And also with chronic illness. So our cells walls, our cells and cell walls are allowing things in that shouldn't be in and things out that shouldn't be out. And they can't communicate with each other very well. So that's why you have cognitive issues and all that sort of thing. Number one, inflammation from your immune system causes for the Lyme, but also because your cell walls are not intact and functioning properly. So we were on something called PC oil, which you can get at Amazon. I recommend anybody get it because it's great for aging and just restoring our cell walls. But they had PK IVs, and it's called PK instead of PC because Dr. Patricia Kane is the person who put together the protocol for restoring your cell walls. She used butyrate and phosphatidylcholine to do that. I was able to get 16 IVs. I'm really hard to stick, so it was a nightmare for me. But I did four, and they were life-altering. I mean, as far as anxiety, cognition, energy, everything. My daughter got a few. My son was a little too young. He just wasn't up for it. Could probably use some now. So I'm actually working with some doctors in the area now because my doctor retired. My biggest
fear. I hate it when that happens, right?
Oh,
they're hard to find and then they retire.
I mean, my biggest fear in my life was the day that he told me that he was going to retire, which he just recently did. So I've been looking for docs in the area that will bring in the PK IVs. And I have two that are looking into it. So highly suggest
so
those.
So the PKIV, the other version of that would be PC oil that you said
PC
you can
oil.
Search out on Amazon.
It's Body Bio and it's called PC oil. And I took a tablespoon twice a day, but also you can take pills as well. It's just, you have to take three, two times a day. So it's just easier to take the yucky tasting motor oil. Or get the IVs. If you have anything chronic going on, I highly suggest trying that. And also, you know, the MTHFR mutations, I've been screaming from the trees about those, you know, ever since I got helped by just taking my plate of vitamins. I'm so excited that recently, you know, MTHFR has come to light again because of leucovorin for people with autism. Basically, leucovorin is just folinic acid, and it's a form of folate that is required by 400 and some pathways in our body to make, you know, to be able to have cognition and energy and all that sort of thing. But when your pathways are clogged up because you have mutations or slow COMT gene, you get, I think we with that mutation tend to get sicker easier with COVID, long COVID, Lyme, anything, because we're not detoxing properly. I highly suggest people find that out. You know, if someone has 23andMe or Ancestry, you can use that hair, let that Ancestry data, ask for the raw data from the company, and then put it through software I have and find out your genetic SNPs. And I just found out that I was slow comp T earlier, which explains why I can only take small amounts of certain medications because they build up as if I'm taking an overdose because they
Right,
don't
yeah.
go out of the body, right? So, you know, just, you know, with all that, but the PKIVs, finding out about your MTHFR, you know, definitely taking the basics of magnesium, fish oil, vitamin D, all that good stuff, right? Highly, highly recommend that. And finding a doctor that works with you and understands you and doesn't tell you that you're crazy. My family thought I was a hypochondriac. You know, my family growing up thought I was a hypochondriac, you know, and it's constant. And so you just have to find doctors that get you and will work with you.
Yeah, it's really hard, especially when you start, you know, you're symptomatic, you have Lyme disease from a young age, right? It just goes back to that we don't know what we don't know. And oftentimes we don't know that we're not normal, right? Because just like, you know, when you said you're in your 50s, all of a sudden you finally feel well. Like we don't know if something is going on in our body, especially for children, right? How do they explain other than the parent has to be kind of the advocate and poke around and be like, okay, why is my child always having, you know, migraines? Why are they allergic to everything? Why do they get rashes and all the other kids don't do, you know, I know we're different, but I've said it a few times. If we have multiple things going on with young children, there's probably a root cause to it, right? So do some
Absolutely.
digging and figure out what it is. So wow, kudos to you, Kimberly, because you were for sure their advocate, but you had to go through the journey yourself, right? To really kind of dive in and hone in and know what it all is. And so that is amazing. And then now, of course, moms are the best, right? So we save mom for the last. So tell us a little bit about your mom and her journey.
Well, just one thing before I forget, I wanted to mention that, you know, for my training, you learn, and also being in drug development, anything you put in your body is a drug. Our bodies work on lock and key, and so we have a lot of locks in our body that either turn on or don't, depending on what keys we put into our body. It can be food, it can be vitamins, it can be prescriptions, it can be toxins, unfortunately. It can be, you know, obesogens from candles and lotions and potions. So I'm very careful about what we put on our body, but anything you put in your body is a drug and works like a key to your lock. So you have to be very, very careful. And another thing that I wanted to mention too is doctors, you know, I used to train them when I worked in the hospital lab. They are not trained in nutrition, maybe a little bit more so now, but they were not even trained to really read tests. They're given little algorithms. And so they would call me to find out, you know, how to read tests. And when I was seeing the rheumatologist for psoriatic arthritis, I was diagnosed with, she put me on Vioxx, which got taken off the market. It wasn't really working. And I did end up at a functional medicine doctor for my daughter for allergies at the time. And they made her gluten free. And they said, oh, you don't need to take Vioxx. You should just be taking high quality fish oil. And when I did, it worked better than Vioxx. And I asked the rheumatologist, and she said, oh, yeah, it does. And I said, well, what do you mean? You put me on a really dangerous drug. Why wouldn't you tell me about that? And she said, no one wants to pay out of pocket if they can get a drug paid for by their insurance. No one likes the taste of fish oil. And, you know, I just got tired of mentioning to people because they always went with the drug. And so that's when I also, from my training, but also from that, realized that supplements are drugs. It is, you know,
Yeah,
it's a
and it's really sad because you should have been given the options, right? They should have shared the resources with you. So I have a couple of things on that. Yes. So like CoQ10, right? Like it is a great supplement. It does a lot of amazing things. But once you hit 40, your body, so CoQ10 turns into ubiquinol. But once you hit 40s, your body cannot turn that into ubiquinol. So then you need to
Wow.
take ubiquinol versus CoQ10.
Wow.
Like there's a lot of
Interesting.
different things, and I like that you brought up the whole testing thing, that these doctors are coming to you to try to read the tests, right?
Yes.
So here's the thing with it, and I want to shout this really loud to the listeners, because I've seen it happen too many times, and one time is too many. So you go to your primary doctor, whatever doctor you're going to, and you are coming in and presenting an issue. Okay. So they do lab work. And let's say you're coming in for, I don't know, I'll even just say seizures. Okay. So we're thinking something in our brain, right? So they're going to look at this, all the labs that they just took. If they will actually just look at the brain labs.
Yeah.
And if those look good, they come back to the patient and say, nope, your labs look perfect. When in fact, if you actually get a copy of your lab report, which you can get on every single visit, you just ask the front desk and they will print it out for you. And you should be keeping these records. If you look at that lab report, you will probably see a million things that are off. And wonder why, well, the doctor said my labs were good, because they're only looking at something that's specific that they have in their mind. So, just another reminder about how we truly have to be our own advocate, and we have to be involved with our health journey when we're going through this journey. We have to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just to take that a step further, my daughter, as she was older, we went back to Dr. Heyman because she had weight gain and just wasn't feeling great in college, probably a moldy dorm room, all that sort of thing, right? But he looked at her same labs that had been taken by a different doctor. And I said, everything, there's a couple of things that are verging on high or low or whatever, but it all looks pretty normal, right? And he said, actually, no. He said, when you look at them grouped together, the fact that some were higher, high, low, you know what I mean? They're still in range, high normal or low normal,
But
and all
because
those
this one
things
is on the
together.
higher end, and this one is
Yes.
this, like there's a co coincide with the
Yes.
other, each other.
And
Yes.
you have to look at it that way. She was pre-diabetic, and no one was diagnosing her with that. He's like, you're about to be diabetic if we don't arrest this right now. So that's just
Wow.
another example of how functional medicine doctors, which is why I abandoned traditional medicine because it let me down so much, and my mother, which we'll get into. But functional medicine gets to the why. Why did I have MS symptoms? Why did I have Parkinson? Why did I have arthritis? Why did I have dementia? Why did my son have migraines? Why did we have epilepsy? All these things like crazy fibromyalgia. Why did we have them? No one looked for that. They were just giving, our healthcare system and seeing it from all angles, right? Being in it, designing tests, being a patient, all that sort of thing. We've realized that our healthcare system is really a sick care system. They don't start reacting until you're out of range. They're not looking for things that are on the edge of being in range. And also, it's set up to develop a test, develop a drug, and then define something like lupus or MS or Parkinson's, which all have similar underlying autoimmune type symptoms. They try to group them so that they can treat them and insurance will pay for it. So we need a test, we need a drug, and we need a test, a drug, and a disease, right? And it all has to mesh together for insurance to pay for it. And that's unfortunate. And that's why, functional medicine doctors tend to not take insurance. I was never in all those years diagnosed with Lyme disease. My diagnosis for all this testing, all this treatment was malaise. And my doctor warned me to never let it be on my chart because they will only allow you to treat, insurance allows 30 days at the most of doxycycline, which we know as soon as you hit Lyme, spirochetes with doxycycline, they go into cyst form and they just hang out there until the doxycycline's gone and then they come back. I actually got infected several years after I was healthy and planting flowers at Lowe's, from Lowe's, sorry, into a planter. And I started itching and I couldn't figure out why. And I looked down and there's a tick on my stomach right at the level where I was planting flowers. And I ended up doing the Beyond Balance. I was never going to go through the 2 year experience that I had with the antibiotics, right? So there's that. And then, my mom, who's no longer with us, she She had what you called back in the day an invisible disease, fibromyalgia and nerve pain. She was a very gorgeous, vibrant, very active, energetic person, and all of a sudden one day was in bed, very, very sick. And she spent 40 years like that. My goal in my life was to help my mom, right? Because same thing, I had to go visit her in bed. To see her. And sorry, I get really choked up when I talk about what she went through. So for 40 years, she had five different surgeries at UPenn, Johns Hopkins, evaluated by so many people. They cut nerves, they fused bones. She wore the big halo around her head for 3 months after, a spinal fusion. She spent 8 weeks at a time in Johns Hopkins trying to get off of her pain meds because they didn't want to keep prescribing them for someone who was in horrific, horrific nerve pain, which back in the day, they didn't have gabapentin to treat. That was like a miracle drug when it came out. I remember when they prescribed it for her, and that's what helped her from taking her life because she was about to. But that was my impetus. I mean, I was paying $1,000 to take her, into a little cabin in the woods to have psychic surgery. I mean, I was trying anything. So when I picked my degree in college, it was definitely going to be something medical because I'd become so interested in it. So fast forward with her, for all my life, from 16 on, she was on, just like I was with my Lyme treatment. She was on, like I said, nerve pain, gabapentin, three pain pills a day, all kinds of supplements and that sort of thing, and was still in horrific pain. It was just something that she had to live with and get through, and she did a great job of it. Well, at one point, a few years ago, she got dementia. She was having UTIs, and every time I went back home to Pittsburgh from Virginia to the hospital, they would have her on IV antibiotics, which were helping. But and as soon as they wanted her off of that floor and needed that bed, they would switch her to oral, which were not the right even kind for the bugs that she had. And I had to throw a fit and have that proven. She would regress again and start having dementia again. So to me, that told me that it was definitely infection related. And her doctor was screaming at me, she doesn't have Lyme disease. She doesn't have this. She doesn't have that. You're crazy. She just needs to come live with you and your brothers. And she's probably going to have to go to a dementia clinic at this point because she can't remember things and she was hallucinating. So I got her, my brothers didn't even believe me. She's 82, she's old. And so I got her well enough to get her out of there and down to my doctor because back in the day before COVID, one of the good things that came out of that was that they started allowing telemedicine, right? Well, at the time, though, I had to get her well enough and cart her down to see Dr. Heyman. And he did a test that someone mentioned on here, one of your podcasts the other day, MicroGen DX. I can't recommend it enough if you have something unusual going on and you can't get a diagnosis. It's a urine collection. I think it was 24 hours. It collects from your lymph nodes, from your brain, from your spinal fluid, from your kidneys, from your blood, everywhere. So it's the most comprehensive test. And it tests for, it was the panel for infections. And they tested her, and she came up with four resistant infections. And of course, they did the sensitivity to see which antibiotics would work for those resistant strains. And within 2 weeks, she had taken three antibiotics to cover the four infections, and she was clearer than she was for 20 years. Her cognition was back. She got off of all of her pain meds after 40 years. I mean, it was miraculous, and she was totally sane and civil, and got out of the Alzheimer's clinic, the dementia clinic that she was in. And her doctor still didn't want to hear it, didn't want to hear
Personally.
anything, right? And what I tell people is never give up. I mean, there's so much information out there, and you're sharing it for Lyme disease and other things. We ended up dealing with mold as well. My doctor became very versed in mold. That was one of the things that he realized later on. Things complicate infections, right? So we had the MTHFR gene, so we weren't detoxing very well. We weren't getting rid of junk out of our body. It was building up. We had Lyme disease and other infections. And And then we had the mold situation. And I would like to say to listeners that if you have a front loading washer, I don't care how new it is, and I don't care if they promise you that you won't get mold in it. I had my house remediated when I found out that we had genes that could turn on with mold, and we're complicating our situation, the three of us. My husband's a cockroach. He's perfectly healthy and never gets any of this stuff. Thank God he's there to take care of us. So basically just don't give up and keep searching for answers and keep peeling back the onion of, what's going on. And I would even say, we were talking earlier that 3 to 5% of diseases are genetic and fixed genes, things like trisomy and Down syndrome, a few others, but the rest of those are done, are caused by what we do with our fingers, fork, and feet. It's all our environment, what we put in our bodies, how we treat our bodies. We need to really take that all into account, right?
Yes, 1,000,000%. Our body's a temple, right? We have to take care of it. So, no, that was just fabulous. We crammed a lot in there. Thank you so much for like breaking down like the different testing and then that other test that you had mentioned and the PC oil and all that stuff. Such amazing tips to be able to have listeners take away with. So super grateful for that and just grateful that you took the time to join me and for what you're doing within the community and listeners, if you want to reach out to Kimberly, she is a functional health coach. And as you can tell, she's full of all sorts of information. So I will have her full name in the description of this episode so you can find her on Facebook.
Yes.
Kimberly, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Oh, I really appreciate this. I was just really tickled to be here, and I'm just glad to find other people like you who are willing to spend your time trying to help others get better. It makes you better when you help other people get better.
1,000,000%, and it truly takes a village.
Yes. But listen, thank you very, very, very much. This was such a pleasure. I really appreciate your time.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.